spent a lot of time the last couple of days on the pros and cons, whether a goy can affect the kiddush chalipin. Can I buy things from a goy derech chalipin? Can I sell things to a goy derech chalipin? Why does this matter to us so much? It matters to us a lot. In terms of long distance, everything matters to us, but even l'may halach l'mayis, it matters to us, because we already pointed out yesterday that when we try to sell things to goyim to almost circumvent certain halachic issues, in the days of the Rishonim, the issue was selling to circumvent Bechor. A person has an animal, they're afraid it's going to give birth to a boy, it's going to become Kaddish B'Kedushas Bechor, so you have to try to sell the mother before it gives birth. That was one issue in the days of the Rishonim. Then later generations, when the institution of Mechiras Chametz started, in the olden days, in the days of the Gemara, they didn't do Mechiras Chametz. People didn't have so much Chametz. Whatever little bit of Chametz you had, you finished, you ate, whatever was left over, you burnt, you destroyed, and finished. Then later in the 1500s, 1600s, 1700s, so the Jews started to be into the schnapps business. So it became a whole different story. So when Jews started to work in chametz food processes and schnapps and other things, so then the Acharonim came up with the seitzah that the Gemara talks about, the Bechiras Chametz, but in the days of the Gemara, it was once in a blue moon that you did Bechiras Chametz. The Tosefta says that if a guy's on a boat and he realizes he forgot to get rid of his chametz, and what's he going to do? So the Gemara says, if there's a goy on the boat, so you should sell all the chametz to the goy. So the Gemara does talk, as Al did speak about, the notion of Bechiras Chametz, but you don't get any impression that it was any widespread process that was taking place. Later generations, it became much more prevalent. So Bizman Hazeh, both for the farmers who are selling their animals and for the rest of us who are selling our chametz, when we sell something to a goy, we have to be absolutely certain that he actually bought it. The problem is that he's not going to come and pick up each piece of chametz. That's absurd. It's not practical. So we have to come up with some kind of a halachic mechanism to make it very simple to transfer ownership to the goy and the chametz. So kesef, we said yesterday, was very tricky because according to many opinions, kesef is not really a valid method of acquisition from a tashlum between Jews and goyim. So a kinyan that would be very, very helpful would be chalipin. Chalipin is a cinch to pull off chalipin. The goy just gives you a pen and hocus pocus, he buys $10 million worth of liquor. So that would be very easy practically to do. The question is, does it work? Is it halachically binding? Now, we want to make sure that this really does the trick, because we're dealing with deraisas of owning chametz by Rav Yemotze. So we want to make sure that this chametz really belongs to the goy l'chol hadeis. That's the goal of Bechiras Chametz, is to try to get this chametz absolutely, without any question, belong to the goy. So the question is kiddush chalipin a good answer? Will that solve the problem? So according to Rabbeinu Tam, the answer is yes. According to others who question Rabbeinu Tam, the answer is no, and we would have to go and search for another kinyan. Before we go back to the actual sugya and the raya, back and forth, for and against Rabbeinu Tam, the halacha, we do chalipin, but we do it, and then we throw out a few more of the kinyanim also. So we do it to be on the safe side, that just in case it works, if Rabbeinu Tam is accepted la halacha, then we do a kinyan chalipin, but we don't suffice ourselves with kinyan chalipin. We're not comfortable with just doing a kinyan chalipin. We throw in three, four other kinyanim just to make sure that it's good. The reason why we throw in so many kinyanim is because each kinyan has a problem on it. We do a kinyan chotzer and a kinyan agav and a handshake. Every kinyan has something to talk about. When all the dust settles, we end up doing six kinyanim for Mechiras Chametz, and we hope and pray that one of them works. Oh, you don't need all six of them to work. You don't even need five. You don't need row of them. As long as one kinyan works, we actually write into the shtar, when we finally summarize legally with a document with the goy what we're actually doing, so we spell out all six of the kinyanim, and then we write almost a disclaimer at the bottom that says that if any one of these kinyanim will work, will be acceptable. Don't think that the kinyan depends on all six, because between you and me, all six are probably not good. A few of the six are probably not really valid. So we make it clear that if any one of the following kinyanim work, that it's okay. But one of the kinyanim that we do is a kinyan chalipin. Remember the first year that I was...
Don't we know that any one works?
No, the problem is we're not sure, because each one has a pick, each one has a question on it, because of the confusion about how to buy and sell with goyim. The only thing that we would know would work beyond any question, the Gemara's Beferish would work, is if we would do Ketzef and Meshicha. If the goy would give money, Annie would pick everything up. But, well, I'm going to pick everything up. I'm going to go to your house and pick up your box of crackers there at Pesach. So he's not going to pick up all the box of crackers. So because it's not practical to do Meshicha, therefore we have to cover ourselves with multiple other kinyanim, and one of them being chalipin. Remember the first year that I was a Rav in Paramus, so the first time I'd ever done, as a rabbi, first time I ever did Mechiras Chametz, so I went and met with the other, we have about 30, 40 Rabbanim who go together to Riverdale Erev Pesach, many of the Rabbanim from this neighborhood join. And we have a massive Mechiras Chametz with Mr. John Brown. Mr. John Brown, Bali Anhar, is already, I think he's in his 80s already, if I'm not mistaken. He's been doing this for about 40 years with the Rabbanim. So It's funny because he doesn't live in New York. He lives upstate somewhere, and he flies in Erev Pesach. It's like he says that the reason why he keeps on coming is the original reason why he used to come was he was a big real estate man in Riverdale, so it was very good for him to be on good terms with everybody, all the rabbanim and everybody in Riverdale. It was good business for him, but now he's real estate is doing well without the rabbanim. But he claims that he comes every year for Rabbi Willis bracha. Every year gives him a bracha for Richas Yom Vashanim. He should come back next year. And it's still working. He's well into his 80s. He's still flying nicely in Erev Pesach. He flies twice. He flies in Erev Pesach. He flies back with Tzoy Pesach to come for the buying back of the Chametz. So remember the first year that I participated on this. This goes back already. It was 17 years ago already. So the first time when I came to the Rabbi for Amos. So I went for the Bechiris Chametz, and I was doing it quickly, you know, it's Mamash and Assembly, 40 Rabban Malan, Erev Pesach, everyone's in a rush. So one of the kinyan that we do was the kinyan chalipin, so he gives us his, at the time was his pocket knife, he had a trusted pocket knife that he had used for many, many years, which one year actually he didn't bring. And we asked him what happened to the pocket knife. He said he had forgot once on a plane. He forgot, it was after September 11th, he forgot you're not allowed to carry the knife on the plane. And they confiscated his knife. He was trying to explain to them, this is the Mechiris Chometz, this is history in this knife. They didn't seem too excited on the plane, so we got a new knife, a different knife. So anyway, so when we did the Chalip and part of the Kinyan, so we were doing things quickly, and I forgot to do part that we do a double Kinyan Chalip in one of the Chometz and one of the place where the Chometz is stored. So I forgot to do the second half of the Kinyan Chalip. So he stops me. He says, Rabbi, you forgot step five. You forgot to do the Chalip. I don't know if he said the word Chalip on the place of the closets and the rooms where the Chometz is being stored. It's a backup Kinyan Chalip. So he said, you skipped that step. So I said, Mr. Brown, you're right. I'm a rookie here. You know, the first time I did it, you know, everything's quick. I'm in a rush. He said, you're right. So then he said to me a great line. He said, you know, Rabbi, he said, I'm an expert on Mechiras Chometz. So and then he said to me, you know what it means to be an expert? An expert is someone who knows a lot about a little. That's what he said. He said, I know everything you have to know about Mechiras Chometz, but I don't know anything else about it. Hilchos Shabbos, I can't touch it, but Mechiras Chometz, I know. So he actually, I don't know where it is, it's kind of online somewhere. They actually, years ago, made a video of Mechiras Chometz. With one year they videoed the whole Mechiras Chometz, and then Mr. Brown came to Yeshiva one year to give a shiur. He gave a shiur called Mechiras Chometz through the eyes of the guy. That was the name of the. So I don't know. I wasn't at the shiur, but I think it's also on video somewhere about the whatever. So anyway, getting back to the story. So, is this really going to be effective to do this chalipin, or is it just really superfluous? Not really accomplish anything. So this ultimately boils down to the machlokes Rabbeinu Tam and the others about does chalipin work for a goy or not. So we saw a couple of raya's back and forth, but we didn't really have a convincing raya. The Gemara in Kiddushin of Gimel could have gone either way. We had other Gemaras could have gone either way. We spoke about conceptually does it make sense? Does that make sense? Is there any absolute clear statement in the Gemara one way or the other? So there is a sugya on the 9th of the Maamar Kamos that at least Rabbeinu Tam thought was a clear indication in his direction. We'll have to see what others responded to that. So we take a look at the 9th of the Maamar Kamos. The sugi begins, how gavra the aktish b'shiroi. There was a person who was mekadish in Isha with silk. Sounds like a beautiful thing. A piece of beautiful silk for kedushin. So the question was whether before that kedushin took place, whether it was necessary to evaluate the silk or not. So Rabba Amar Lo Tzrich Hishuma. So Rabba says there's no need to evaluate the silk. If he gave her his kedushin. Shava kesef kesef. Rabbi Yosef Amar Tzrich Hishuma. Rabbi Yosef says no. You have to evaluate it first. If you don't evaluate it, then the kedushin is not going to be valid. So the Gemara says, what's the case here? What are they arguing about? Ida amala b'choldehu, if he said to her, I'm a kaddish with the silk, no matter what it's worth, means he didn't stipulate a price, he said, whatever it's worth. So kuli amala plugid lo tzuchi shuma. So he said, so what do you need shuma for? What do you have to, if it's worth a prut, it's worth a prut. Who cares? It's $100, $10,000, what's the difference? If he said he's a kaddish with any amount, so the condition's valid. Ida amala chamshin v'lo shavu chamshin. If he stipulated a price and he says, I'm telling you, this silk is worth 50 and it's not worth 50, it's only worth $20, haloshavu, then it's a kedushin tos. Then he misled her, and the whole kedushin is bought, the whole kedushin is null and void. So we're still trying to figure out what the case is. Machlekes Rabbi and Rav Yosef, whether you have to evaluate the silk. If he didn't give a price tag on it, he said, whatever it's worth, it should be good. So, of course, it should be good. If he put a price tag and it was the wrong price tag, so then, of course, it's no good. So, the Gemara says, no. What happened was as follows. Ki pligi de ama chamshin v'shavu chamshin. He said it's worth 50, and lo and behold, it was worth 50. So, the question is, so why should that be a problem? If he said 50, and it was 50, he told it the truth, so what's the shayla? So, Rabba amar lo tzricha shuma. So, Rabba says, it doesn't need shuma. What do you have to evaluate it for? Tasha v'chamshin. It was worth exactly what he said. He's honest. Rav Yosef amar tzricha shuma. Rav Yosef says, no, it would still require shuma. Kaven de issa lo bekiya b'shuma lo samcha daita. Since the woman doesn't really understand how much the silk is worth, she thinks the silk maybe is worth more than that. He's saying it's 50, but if she's looking at, ooh, it looks very fancy, maybe it's worth a lot more. She's being misled. She's not an expert in the silk business. So maybe there's a lack of what we call smichus das. There's a lack of real agreement. There's a lack of real consent. And maybe there's a chashash that the das isha is not really 100% there. So that's the reason why Rav Yosef suggests that you need a shuma. It's based on this Gemara. We're not going to get to that part of the Gemara, but eventually, this is the source for the meaning that we have today, that we don't use diamonds, we don't use any precious stones in a ring for Kiddushin, because we don't want to throw anybody off, because we don't want to take any chances that the woman looks at the diamond, she doesn't know too much about diamonds, she thinks the diamond's worth $50,000, that turns out it's only worth $10,000, so even though $10,000 is more than enough, it's more than a prut of chaladeus, but since she thinks she's getting more than she's actually getting, there may be a little bit of a concern, maybe a little bit of a shash in the smichas das of the woman. So therefore, the Taisus quotes a minhag, we have an age-old custom, the Tam quotes the minhag, that we don't use anything that could throw the woman off in terms of jewelry. We give a simple, plain gold ring that she knows what it's cost. It's very, 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 very small, insignificant in terms of financially, and therefore she's not going to get confused. And that's also part of the reason why, under the chuppah, where when we ask the Edim, is the ring worth a pruta? So I say it's worth a pruta. It's worth much more than a pruta. So $100 worth more than a pruta. So we don't want to even talk about what the price is. We don't even want to highlight what the price is. We want the woman to understand that as long as it's a pruta, it's good. So we don't want to give her a fancy diamond ring she's going to have and think it's worth more. And even the ring that we do use, we don't want to make a fuss about how much it is. It's a pruta. That's it. That's all of us speak. So Akopanim, that was the first version of the Machlokes Rabbi and Rav Yosef. Ikadiyami, there was another version. Behold hu nami pligi, that they were arguing, even if he says to her, I'm a kaddish with the silk, no matter what it's worth. So now, it can't even be a lack of smichus das. If he didn't even stipulate a price, what could possibly be wrong? So Rav Yosef has a whole other reason, a different reason, nothing to do with the woman's confusion, a totally different reason why the condition is no good. Rav Yosef Amar, Shava Kesef Yerki Kesef. Rav Yosef says, yes, we have a Chiddush that Shava Kesef is like Kesef. That was the whole first sugi that we learned. Ma Kesef to Kitz, Av Shava Kesef Nami to Kites. Just as Kesef is an exact amount, I know exactly what the Kesef is. It's silver, it's coins, I know exactly precisely what it is. So too, whenever you invoke the din of Shava Kesef to Kesef, it has to be a Dova Katz. It has to be something that's stipulated, that's set aside, that's designated, was evaluated properly. You can't just stop throw a roll of silk at the woman. That, even though it's technically worth more than a pruta, and she wants to be married to you, it doesn't matter. That's a din. It's exerced across of that Shava Kesef has to be Mamash like Kesef. It must be evaluated for. Where in the world did Rav Yosef get this from? So this is going to be the part of Rashi that's not relevant. I'm Rav Yosef. Where did I get this from? Rav Yosef himself asked the question because he realizes that it's such a chiddush. Like, why should there be such a din? Desani said, I didn't make it up, says Rav Yosef. I got it from a braisa. Mikesef miknoso, bikesef unikne ve'enanikne b'tvuah v'keilim. There's a braisa, the comments on the Poskim Parshas Bahar, that you can purchase an eved ivri mikesef miknoso. The Pasuk is actually talking about the eved ivri redeeming himself. And Eved Ivri was purchased, and now he wants to go free, no problem. As long as he comes up with the amount of money that his original purchase price that he received was, he sold himself to somebody a few years ago, and now he wants to go free earlier than he would have. So as long as he can come up with the money, that's great, that's wonderful. The Torah says, Mikesef Mikinoso. There comes a Torah Shema Peh with the Drasha, Bikesef hu nikne, ve'eino nikne b'tvua v'keilem. The Pasuk goes out of its way to spell out Kesef. Kesef indicates to us, Kesef yes, other things no. He cannot come to the other. He can't come to the master in the middle of his years of work and say, okay, he has the $10,000 left for my original purchase price. I'm giving it to you in wheat and Caleb. I give you $10,000 of jewelry or something. That doesn't work. He has to give kesef. It's got to be cash or silver, whatever kesef means. Ve'eno niklum tuva kelim. So the Gemara analyzes this din. Hai tuva kelim echidam. What's the case when we say tuva kelim? What do the words mean? Ilei medul makne buklal. Do we mean to say that when an eved frees himself, he can't use shuva kesef? Is that what that's what this braisa is implying? Yashiv gulasa amrachamana l'rabba shuva kesef. The Torah says explicitly, mikesef iknaso yashiv gulaso. Yashiv means anything that he returns. Even if he returns shuva kesef, as long as he pays back the value of what his original sale was, minus the years that he worked, he goes free. There is no question that Shavu Kesef Kesef when it comes to Evan Ivri redeeming himself. In fact, if you remember back to the first sugi that we learned this year, according to many Rishonim, the source of Shavu Kesef Kesef in other areas of Halacha, such as Kedushin, is actually from Evan. When it comes to Kedushin, so the Torah says, Kikach Ish Isha. The Torah Rapeh says, Kesef Asota Kach Mimeni. We derive from Stei Ephron. That was Kesef. That was silver. How do you know you can be Mekash and Isha with an apple? Where did that come from? How does the Mishnah know Shavu Kesef Kesef? So many Rishonim said it's actually derived from Evet. So just as there's a Gzer Sekosef, there's a Pasuk that enables an Evet to free himself by giving Shavu Kesef, so to a woman can be Mekudeshes for Shavu Kesef. So if we already know that Shavu Kesef is Kesef, what is the Braisa mean? This cryptic Braisa. Bekesef u nikne ve'eno nikne bekesef v'tuva v'kelem. What are the words? Just tachas, what do the words mean? So the Gemara says that the idaleis b'shava pruta, if the tefuah v'kelim, if the shava kesef isn't worth a pruta, my iri tefuah v'kelim, what's the chiddush tefuah v'kelim? Feel like kesef not me. Kesef also less than a pruta is no good. So the bottom line is, we don't know how to make any sense of this statement. The Torah Rabbah, we have a drasha that says, we have a tradition that says, v'kesef u'nikne, v'eino nikne b'tefuah v'kelim, and we don't have a clue what the phrase means. If the tefuah v'kelim is worth a pruta, then it should be good. If it's not worth a pruta, then even kesef is no good. So what is the distinction that the drush is drawing between kesef on the one hand and tefuah v'kelim on the other hand? So the Gemara says, elav d'isbu sheva pruta, v'kev is lo kaitzi lo, says Rav Yosef, but it must mean is as follows. The tefuah v'kelim is worth a pruta, and the reason why it's no good is because it wasn't evaluated. This is the source Rav Yosef's did. The tefuah v'kelim that the pasuk is referring to, that the Torah Rapeh is referring to, that's not effective to free an Eved Ivri, must be, of course it's worth a pruta, if not, then nothing to talk about. It's worth a pruta, but it wasn't evaluated beforehand. And from here we derive a din in Kol Tarakula, that yes, Shavu Kesef Kesef, but with a condition. The condition being, it was clear, it was marked, it was evaluated beforehand. So according to Rav Yosef, when you're standing under the chuppah, you better know what that ring is worth. When you're Mekadosh and Isha with Shava Kesef, you better make sure exactly what it's worth, or otherwise the whole condition is going to be thrown into question. So the Gemara says, what? That's what the Braisa means. That's what Chazal meant. Forget it, Rabba says. That's the wrong shot. No, so the Gemara says, no, V'idach, what would Rabba say to that? Rabba says, you totally completely misunderstood what that drasha of Bekesef u'nikne ve'enu nikne b'toros v'kele means. What it means is, Hachika Amar, the last line of the Maramachim, b'toros kesef u'nikne ve'enikne b'toros tvua v'kelem u'maininu chalipin. It took us 10 lines to get to the word that matters for us. But Rabba learns a totally different pshat in the Braisa. The Braisa is not requiring evaluation of Shava Kesef, there never was such a thing. But the Braisa is highlighting and saying, if an Eved Ivri wants to free himself, that's perfectly okay. If he gives cash, if he gives kesef. But if he thinks he's going to free himself by doing the kiddin chalipin, he's going to hocus pocus go to the adon and hand him a handkerchief and say, in lieu of this handkerchief, I'm now going free. So that's not going to work. That's not going to fly. Chalipin is not an acceptable method for shichur of an Eved Ivri. That's what this din is said. So why does the braisa talk in riddles? But tefuah v'kelim? Tefuah v'kelim is a code phrase. Tefuah v'kelim is the way you would describe a kiddin chalipin. So the Gemara has a lot of issues with that because we have at the Paskin that Tvua can't even be used for Chalipin. You need a Kli for Chalipin. So that's a bizarre way of talking. So again, we stopped the Marmokam short. We stopped in the middle of the Sugya because we just want to extract the part that we want. At this stage, the Gemara was comfortable with this new understanding of the Braisa. The Kesef u'nikne, the inner nikne b'tuva v'kelim. So what does it have to do with us? Very nice. Chalipin is no good for Eved Ivri. So we're talking about Mechir's Chometz. What does it have to do with us? It happens to be that this pasuk of b'kesef v'knaso is not talking about a regular eved ivri. There are actually three kinds of eved ivris in halacha, really, four kinds of eved ivris in halacha. There's one kind of eved ivri where a person steals and he can't pay back, then he might pay back. So the Beis Din takes him and sells him for 6 years to a Jew. That's Macharu Beis Din. That's one type of eved ivri. Then there's another kind of eved ivri who's a nirtza. It means after the 6 years are up, he decides he wants to stay. We pierce his ears, he stays till Yovel. That was the second kind of eved ivri. Then you have a third kind of eved ivri. He's very poor, doesn't have any money, and he realizes, like, I can't support myself. I'll go and sell myself to a Jew. I'll live in his house. He'll be responsible to provide me with food and clothing. He'll take care of my needs. And I'll work for him. So I become, in effect, a servant for 6 years. That's what's called a Meicher Atzmo. And then there's a fourth kind of eved ivri. He's a Meicher Atzmo, but Nebuch, he doesn't sell himself to a Jew. He sells himself to a Goy. A Meicher Atzmo la'akom. So the Torah speaks about that in the end of Parshat Bar. Obviously, that's a tragedy. It's something we try to avoid at all costs. You have a Jew living in the house of a Goy. It's going to be very hard for him to keep mitzvahs. Very, very bad situation. But that's the worst comes to worst. That's what happens. If a Jew sells himself to a Goy, the sale is binding. And there's a concept in Halacha called a Meicher Atzmo la'akom. The Torah says, if and when you sell yourself to a Goy, if you want to redeem yourself, or you can get somebody to give you money to redeem it, that would be a great thing. We want that to happen. The Torah says, v'chishavim koneu, you have to be very careful to figure out just how much money you're buying yourself back with. And in fact, in that Gemara, the Gemara says at the end of Bava Kamma, this is one of the sources that a person has to be so careful when you're doing business with Goyim. That's the Gemara says, when you're buying and selling with Goyim, make sure not to cheat the Goy. Here, one would have thought that here I'm Nebuch, I'm an eved ivri, I'm sold to a Goy. It's hard for me to keep Shabbos, hard for me to keep kosher, hard for me to daven. I'm living in the Goy's house, I'm stuck here till Yovel. I would think that whatever finagling you can do, whatever kunsim you can do to cheat the Goy, to get out as quickly as possible, good, we should encourage you to do it. So the Torah says, no, you're not allowed to do that. V'chishav im koneu, yedaktik im koneu. You have to be careful, every last penny. If the Goy bought you fair and square, you shouldn't have sold yourself to the Goy, but Lamaisi bought you, so he's being honest. You have to be honest to him also. Every last penny. The Gemara says, from here we derive that you have to be so careful when you do any business, even with a Goy, you have to be so careful. But going back to our story, this pasuk which says, the Kesef Iknaso happens to be talking about this kind of an eved ivri who's owned by a Goy. So what is the Torah saying? The Torah is saying, when the eved ivri buys himself back from the Goy, you can use Kesef, but you can't use Chalipin. So now comes Tosfos and dug up that Gemara. It took us 20 minutes to get to the punchline of the Gemara. The pasuk is talking about a Jew being sold to a Goy. He wants to buy himself back from the Goy, and the Torah says, don't use Chalipin. So comes Tosfos on the 10th of the Maramah Kamos, and Gimel and Aleph, after the three dots, V'chein Mashbel Kaman. Tosfos bring a raya for Rabbeinu Tam, that chalipin is an acceptable kinyan for a goy. In the case that we just read, the Jew sold to the goy is an eved ivri, mikesef miknaso, and we have a drasha mikesef nikna ve'ein nikne b'taras tuvo v'kedem aniyu chalipin. That was Rabba's version of the brisa. Says Rabbeinu Tam, ushma mina. We can derive from here tishar dvarim nikne mechalipin avikichavim. From the fact that we have a special drasha, a gzeres hakosav, that tells me that when a Jew buys himself back from a goy as an eved ivri, he can't use chalipin. The implication is obvious. That particular scenario, you can't use chalipin, but if you want to buy and sell anything else to a goy, that would be okay. There's nothing that excludes goyim from chalipin. A goy is a perfectly valid candidate for a kiddush chalipin. There's a quirk that the buying back of an eved ivri from a goy, that's not going to fly. That's not going to work because gzeres hakosav. But if not for the fact that it's eved ivri, if you'd want to buy a bag of potatoes from the goy, you could use chalipin. You want to buy land from the goy, you could use chalipin. Or you want to sell an animal to a goy, you can use chalipin. You want to sell chametz to a goy, you can use chalipin. So Rabbeinu Tam says, for the fact that the Torah only singles out the one lone exception to the rule, that you can't buy an eved ivri back from a goy, the implication is obvious that kiddush chalipin is a valid kiddush for a goy. That was Rabbeinu Tam's raya brura. That's not a good raya. That's a very, very solid raya. How can we possibly refute this raya? So the Shach, I didn't put it on the Rambam Kus, but the Shach in Chashim Mishpat says, nah, it's not a raya. Do you know why it's not a raya? Says the Shach, why does the Torah say that you can't buy an eved ivri back from a goy through chalipin? You know why, says the Shach? Because chalipin doesn't work for a goy. Means he took the kash and turned it into a teretz. He says, this is the source. The reason why you can't buy an eved ivri back from a goy is nothing unique about eved ivri. That's exactly what the Chumash is teaching us. That's exactly what the Tosha B'Av Peh is teaching us, that chalipin, it's not going to be good for a goy. So it comes out, we have machloikas from the Tam and the Shach. What conclusion do we draw from this Gemara? The 180 degree difference. According to Rabbeinu Tam, we conclude from the Gemara that chalipin, yes, works for a goy. It only doesn't work in the one unique case. The Eved is the exception to the rule. But otherwise, chalipin is a valid kinyan for a goy. And to which the Shach would respond, and the Iri and others who held the chalipin is no good, would respond, no, that the opposite is true. Not that this is the exception to the rule. The Eved to the goy is not the exception. The Eved to the goy is the rule. Namely, the reason why the Eved can't purchase his freedom back from the goy is because the master is a goy, and goyim can't have a kinyan chalipin. Chalipin is a Jewish kinyan, not a goyish kinyan. So you have machloikas, mechik, mizuch, mayra, from one extreme to the other, between Rabbeinu Tam and the Shah. What did that Gemara say? It said something about chalipin about a goy. Either it said it's good or it said it's no good. Your choice. So when all the dust settles, we still have a running machloikas. The problem is that, you know, Rabbeinu Tam is great, gevaldik, but we don't know whether we want to hinge our entire mechibus chametz on the shit of Rabbeinu Tam, since there are some who disagree. And all the Gemaras that we had, the Gemara in Kedushin of Gimel, not a riot. Gemara in Kedushin of Ches, not a riot. We had no absolute unclear riot. To one way or the other.
Well, we know that the Eved is an exception.
How do you know? I know it's
from the Shivcha.
What Shivcha?
When she couldn't, buy herself back with the Chalipin.
The Shivcha?
The Adon wanted...
That was Eved Kanani. That was not an Eved Ivri. That was an Eved Kanani. And it could be that Eved Kanani does work with Chalipin there, because they did the Chalipin wrong. That was Machlekes, Taisus, and others. Was the reason why it was no good because chalipin doesn't work for shichur, or was it no good because chalipin just was done incorrectly? That was a further machlokes. But it could be that at the end of the day, Eved Kanani is nikta b'chalipin, whereas an Eved Ivri is takanat, not nikta b'chalipin. So at the end of the day, we don't know what the answer is. But Rabbeinu Tam believed what he said, and not only did Rabbeinu Tam believe what he said, Rabbeinu Tam actually put it into practice. Hope mentioned on Friday, we're going to see that Tosfos continues what Rabbeinu Tam lamaisa, his own business life, his own occupation, how he used to actually rely on this kula of himself, his own kula, that a goy is valid for kiddush chalipin, and some of the limitations and some of the potential ramifications lamaisa that emanate from the next part of this Rabbeinu Tam. So,